So, okay, Parshas Chukas. What's today's date? June 19th. Okay, one of the most famous incidents in this week's Parsha is the incident known as Mei Meriva, of the story of Moshe's mistake in striking the rock, bringing forth water for the people. The incident which will cause him eventually not to be able to enter into the land of Israel, and all of the discussion surrounding that event takes place, as we'll get to in a moment, after the death of Miriam. The parsha begins with the story of the Parah Aduma, describing that which needs to be brought for purifying the people. The Torah then describes the death of Miriam. Then we get into this incident. And I want to read this incident inside. We'll learn through the Psukim and do a lot of things that we've done in the past here, which is really just focus on one or two of the Psukim. See really how Rashi and Ramban differ as they understand one. This particular incident, the request of the people for water after they did not have any water following the death of Miriam, and then Moshe striking the rock, there is just so much discussed, described. What exactly was Moshe's chet? What was his sin? There are probably over 10 interpretations that are listed in other various places, but I'm not going to get into that so much today. We'll go through the text to actually try to understand what the Chumash says happened, and then we'll go through a little bit of Rashi and the Ramban's approach. But let's learn the Psukim. Psukim are very difficult. This is an incident which is described so often outside of the Psukim, just as to what went wrong. But let's learn it inside. So starting on the beginning of, on page 842, the beginning of Perek Chof, we'll start with this. So the Torah describes as follows. This entire incident, by the way, is 12 psukim long. I'll go for these 12 psukim, and then we'll see where we go through that. Says the Torah, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael, beginning of Pasuk Aleph. Vayavo v'nei Yisrael kol ha'edom midbar tzin b'chodesh harishon v'yeshef ha'om b'kadesh. The Torah describes where the Jewish people are. This is now 38 years later. We are fast-forwarding at this point 38 years. For the Jews have now been in the wilderness. They completed all of their complaints, the sin of the spies, the sin of the Meraglim, the Chet HaEgel. They've been decreed to be in the desert, and we've gone through that. It's now 38 years later. They're now in the place known as Kadesh. Batama Shamiriam Miriam Vatikover Sham. Miriam dies and was buried there. The Lohoyo Mayim Lo Eda. And the Torah right away connects those two things. Miriam's death, and then there was no water for the people to drink. The sages, of course, picked up on that immediately and said, as Rashi comments, it was in Miriam's chus and her merit that the well miraculously traveled with the Jewish people throughout their travels in the desert. Now that Miriam has died, well, the people were left without water. And as we would expect, you have a mass of 3 million people and no water to drink, so they gather to their leaders, Moshe and Aaron. So far, so good. That's what we would expect. And then the Torah describes, Vayorev ha'om im Moshe. So instead of requesting that there be some water for the people, which would have been a fair request to make, after all, you don't have any water to drink, you're in a desert, that's a necessity, they argue, they quarrel with Moshe. Vayomru leimor v'lu govanu bigva achenu lefnei Hashem, if only we had perished as our brethren perished before Hashem. What a horrible death we have here, so much worse than all the other Jews who've been struck down with plagues and pestilence and whatever else in the desert. If only we would have suffered that kind of death, worse than what we have right now. The Loma Vesa Meskala Shem El Hamid Bora Zela Mus Shomanachnu Vireinu. Why have you, Moshe, brought us out to this desert, to this wilderness, to die here with our animals? The Loma Elisunu Mi Mitzrayim Lahavi Osanu El Hamakom Haroa Zeh. Why have you brought us from Egypt to this evil place? Lo makom zera, it's not a place of seed. Useina vegefen verimon umayim ein lishtos. It's not a place of figs, nor grapes, nor pomegranate. Obviously a takeoff on that which Moshe had promised them. I'm taking you out of the land of Mitzrayim, and Hashem will bring you to a land of Eretz Chito, Seora, Gefen, Te'ena, Verimon, and so the people now say, it's been 38 years, you haven't brought us to a place, there is no pomegranate, there is no grape, there is no fig, and now there's not even any water to drink. That's their complaint. So what would have been a fair request, i.e. we don't have water to drink, so the people instead complained harshly and bitterly, why have you taken out from Mitzrayim? Why you haven't brought us to the place of promise? You have not brought us to the land of Zerah, to Ein Hagefen V'Rimon. There is no water to drink. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron mipnei ha'kohol el pesach ohel moed. So Moshe and Aaron went from the presence of the congregation. They went to the ohel moed, to the tent of meeting. Vayiplu al pneihem, and they fall on their faces. Vayero kvod Hashem aleihem, and Hashem appears to them to instruct them what to do with this people, this thirsty people who have quarreled so with their leaders. Okay, these next two psukim are going to be the focus of what we want to talk about today. Here we have now, so the whole incident is three basic parts. The first part we just read about was the actual complaint. Miriam dies, no water. People complain in an inappropriate manner. Why have you taken us out of Mitzrayim? You haven't brought us to the land, and now there's no water to drink. Section number two is going to be Hashem's request of Moshe to bring the people water, and how he actually, what he actually does with that request. So let's learn first what the request is, and then we'll see what Moshe actually does. Pasuk Zayin, Vaydaber Shem Moshe, Leib Hashem speaks to Moshe, saying, okay, Pasuk Ches, Kach es hamateh. So the first thing that Hashem says to Moshe is, take your staff. Now, put yourself in Moshe's shoes for a second. The first thing that Hashem tells you is, Kach es hamateh, what are you thinking?
I'm going to beat
the people.
So there's going to be some miracle, because the staff has been used for miraculous purposes many times before.
Excellent. It's definitely been used for miraculous purposes many times before. It's also been used in striking things to bring about those miracles many times before. So we have here the first thing that Hashem tells Moshe is, that staff, make sure you got that handy. Kachas hamatev, hakel es ha'edo, gather up the people, atah v'aharon achicha, you, Aharon, your brother, both of you, I want you to be involved in this. V'dibartem el hasela le'enehem, speak to the rock before them, in front of their eyes, literally. V'dibartem el hasela, v'nason meimav, and it will give forth its water. V'hotseso lahem mayim min hasela, and you will bring forth for them water from the rock, the hishkisa efa'eda v'esbi'iram, to give drink to the assembly and to their animals. So we have a double language there. It says once that says twice really that the rock will give forth its waters. First it says, speak to the rock and that it shall give its waters. You shall bring forth for them water from the rock. So we have that double language, which is of note. But you have here the command, take the staff and speak to the rock. The debartem el hasela le'enehem, in front of them, and it will bring forth water. Now this is not the first time that Moshe has been asked to bring forth water from the rock. This is the second time, very in the very beginning of their journeys in the desert, where there is no water, Hashem commanded Moshe to strike a rock, and where he specifically said, strike the rock and it will bring forth its water, and Moshe did, and the water came forth and the people drank. So this is now the second time, 38 years later, that Hashem is requesting of Moshe to do a miracle with a rock to drink, give drink to the people. Except here he says, V'dibartem el hasela, after taking him to take hold of the staff, but speak to the rock. That's the command. Says Pasuk Tes, Vayikach Moshe es hamateh milifnei Hashem, kasher tivo. Moshe took the staff as he had been commanded, and now he's ready and armed with the staff in hand, as he had been commanded. Vayakihilu Moshe v'Aaron es hakohol el pnei hasola. Moshe and Aharon gathered the people before the rock, as Hashem had also commanded them. Vayomer lohem shimuna hamorim. Moshe speaks to the people and says, listen up, rebels. Morim are rebels. Listen up. Hamin hasela hazeh notzi lochem mayim. From this rock, should we bring forth water? Vayorem Moshe es yodo vayaches hasola b'mateu pa'amayim. Moshe raised up his hand, struck the rock with his staff twice. Vayetsu mayim rabim vateshto edo uv iram. Water, abundant waters came out, and he gave to drink to the Eda, to the people, and to their animals. Okay, now what I did is I photocopied for you these last two psukim with a couple of highlighted points on some questions that you could either have thought of on your own, but we'll I'll highlight them. You tell me what the questions are. They should be pretty obvious once they've been highlighted. A little backwards Jeopardy. Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, one of those had more than one sheet. That was funny. Okay. Okay, these are just these last two psukim that we just read. Okay, the first one, verse 8, Ches. So they gathered the Kanyas for the Rock, and they said, now the word Morim should be highlighted also. So they're called rebels. Now, the simple explanation, the fact that they're called rebels by Moshe would simply be because of the way in which they quarreled with him over the fact that they didn't have any water to drink. That would be the most simple explanation. So we'll leave that one fairly much for now. Then they asked this question, Hamina sela hazenotzi lochem mayim. Shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? Where did this question come from? Just go back over the course of events. You're just reading through the Chumash. You have people complain. Fair. Well, the way they complain was unfair, but a request needed to be made. We don't have any water to drink. We need some water. Okay, they did it in an inappropriate way. Hashem says to Moshe, take your staff, and I want you to speak to the rock. So Moshe gathers the people, takes his staff, and then he says to the people, Hamin hasela hazeh notzilo chamayim, shall we bring forth water to you from this rock? What precipitated that question? What's he asking? Hashem said to him, speak to the rock, give him water. We did this before. Remember, you struck the rock a couple years ago. We're going to do it again. What does he want from the people? What kind of question is this that Moshe is asking?
Is it because the people were complaining to Moshe and not saying there's no mention of Hashem in any of this? Is that part of this issue?
So that the study thing, shall we bring forth?
Yeah. Okay, apparently not.
Could be. No, I'm saying that's fair. That we're going to get to such
enough questions to know that.
We'll get to a point like that, but I'm trying. What the question is where. Meaning the way you'd be saying is that Moshe is saying, do you think I know how to bring?
Yeah.
Although he did it before, so it's not an impossibility.
I don't remember what the conversation was the last time.
But the people witnessed it, so they know that it could be done.
Correct. They've witnessed many, many miracles right at this point. I mean, what has just ended, the reason why they don't have water now is because there was a miraculous well which traveled with them wherever they went, and now that ended because Miriam has now died. It's a difficult question. This question is where Ramban and Rashi are going to argue. What's Moshe saying to the people? Where is this question coming from that before doing what he was asked, which was to speak to the rock, you know, in any record of him doing that, he gathers the people together, he yells at them, listen up, rebels, shall I bring water from the... What's the meaning of that question?
Is it a rhetorical question?
And therefore, what's he asking them?
Yeah.
Let's say it is rhetorical.
What do you mean? I'm not going to bring... I guess he's saying, I'm not going to bring water from this rock, maybe?
The people didn't know anything about that's what he was going to do. Hashem speaks to Moshe, go talk to the rock. This question, we'll see, they're going to have very different approaches. Rashi and Ramban are going to interpret this phrase and its placement here in the story very different ways. Okay, and then the Torah continues and says, and Moshe raised his arm and struck the rock with his staff twice. Now you notice I highlighted two phrases in here, difficult phrases. A, why did he raise his arm and strike the rock? That's the big question in this entire thing. Hashem said clearly to him, take the staff, but I want you to speak with the rock. So what happened that Moshe raises his arm and strikes the rock at all? It's missing in the text what took place, why Moshe would do that. And then more than that, the Torah is clear that he struck it twice. Why did he do that? Why was it struck twice? Why did he strike it at all? Why did he strike it twice? What was this question of shall we bring forth water from you from this rock? And why is he specifically calling them Morim, rebels, at this point?
Obviously there's anger.
Good.
Moshe's part.
There is.
Raising with a hand, it's not just a tap at the, raising and bringing it down forth with strength, and twice, as though he could not contain himself with one hit.
Okay. Now, Maimonides, the Rambam, goes with that approach. Ramban and Rashi are not, so I'm not saying that's not a valid approach, and I would like to talk about that if we have time a little bit at the end. But it's certainly, you do get that impression. You do get an anger that seems to come out. The Rabbi for sure saw that here. In his approach, that's the primary chait of Moshe, was that he lost his cool. and getting angrier. And I think we'll see that even a little bit in Rashi as well. Okay, but as far as the questions go, just working within the text of the Chumash as to what we need to see, because the Rashi that we're about to read is going to blow your mind. I remember first really learning through this Rashi about 2 years ago, after all my years in yeshiva, where we hear about this every week, every year you go through this parsha and we talk about what was Moshe's chait, but we very rarely read it inside. And Rashi is going to, just a fascinating approach. The Rashi has to listen to address these questions. The Ran is going to argue on, but Rashi is going to address these questions. Why does Moshe call them rebels? What is this meaning of the question that Moshe asks the people, you think I can drink water from this rock? What is the question coming from that he asks them that? Why does he raise his arm to strike it? And why does he specifically do it twice? Okay, now because of the complexity of this Rashi, decided not just to read it to and have you listen. I brought it here in the bottom with the translation. We'll read it through together. And then we'll see how we will
work it through.
Yeah.
The plural we, that he's giving himself and Aharon the credit for bringing forth water instead of saying, can Hashem bring forth
excellent.
Water?
Excellent. The Ramban says also.
The personal pronoun.
The Ramban picks up on that and he says that's also part of the primary chait.
I guess I'm a Ramban fan.
Yeah. No, the first one was Ramban, was my mind. This one was Nachmanides.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's learn Rashi. Says Rashi, Hamina Sela Hazen Noti, shall we bring forth
the book? I don't have Rashi.
I have it for you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On the bottom of your page. Hamina Sela Hazen Noti, shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? Says Rashi as follows, the Fisha Lo Hoyu Makirin Oso, Moshe and Aharon could not identify the rock. Again, Rashi is going to come and explain this question that we've introduced. Why are they asking this question of, can we bring forth, where is that question coming from? So Rashi takes us back, well, the Chumash didn't fill us in the entirety of the story, because what happened was Moshe and Aaron couldn't find the rock that they were supposed to talk to. So see, Shehola Chasela, because the rock went, the Yoshevlo, and settled itself, Bein Hasloim, amongst the other rocks, Kishinistalik HaBe'er. When the well departed, and the well, which had been the source of the water for all the years that Miriam was alive, and in her merit the Jewish people were provided with water, when she died and the well disappeared, so this famous rock, which had brought forth the water, also suddenly became mixed up amongst all the other rocks. And Moshe and Aaron were not sure which rock it was that they were supposed to speak to. And the Jewish people said to them, Malacha me'ezasela, what difference does it make which rock it is? Hashem is going to do some type of miraculous event and bring forth water from a rock. Who cares which rock it is? Totsi lonu mayim. You bring forth the water, like Hashem said, from whichever rock it is. Why are we fumbling around over here trying to find the right rock, talking to the rock? Bring forth whichever one it is. Lekach omer lehem hamoyrim. That's why Moshe specifically in this situation, of all the complaints and all the rebellions that the Jewish people have had against Moshe, that's why here he refers to them as morim, which means we're not done with Rashi. Hang on. Sarvonim, like wayward ones. That they're saying, whereas Hashem told Moshe to speak to a rock and he couldn't find the right rock right away, and so they got all angry and started saying, what difference does it make? Then Rashi continues with another interpretation of the word morim, where alternatively, Lashon Yevani Shotim, fools, morim es morehem. It intimates that they tried to instruct their teachers. That they were trying, in other words, Moshe and Aaron are the teachers, they're trying to do that which Hashem commanded of them, and the Jewish people are saying, no, we'll tell you how to do it, let us let you know, we'll show you. I know all about this. Believe you me, in my new position. I'll tell you. This is what you need to do. That's what you need to do. So says Rashi, that's why they're called morim. Morim has a connotation of rebellious one, but it also has a lashon of morah, to teach. Just like the root of the word morah we have in school comes from the word Torah. Torah is also a root of the word to instruct or to teach. That's what the Torah is. It's a book of instructions for us how to live our lives. So they're referred to as morim, rebellious ones, specifically using that word, because Rashi understands It was a reference to the fact that the Jewish people were giving Moshe and Aaron a hard time over the fact that they didn't have the right rock. So if you read it back into the Chumash, beginning of Pasuk Ches, on the top of the page, Vayakilu Moshe v'Aaron es hakol el p'nei ha'sela, they gathered all the people to the rock, couldn't find the right rock, insert, says Rashi. The people get angry and say, what's the difference? Vayomer lehem, and on that, Moshe says to them, Shimu noha morim, listen up, you rebellious ones, you ones who are trying to teach us how to do this. Hamin ha'sela hazeh notzi lochem mayim. Can we bring forth water? Says the last line in Rashi where I left off before verse 11. Shall we bring forth water for you from this rock about which we were not commanded? So that this question that Moshe asks, can we bring forth water from the rock? Where is that coming from? It's coming from, we can't bring it forth unless Hashem told us that this is the rock from which we're going to do it. You are saying, what difference does it make? Just go to speak to a rock and bring out the water. We're thirsty. To which Moshe responds, Shimu noha morin, listen up, you rebellious ones trying to teach us how we should do things. Hamin ha'sela zeh, pointing to any rock. Can we bring forth water if this is not the one that Hashem commanded us? That's what Rashi reads in that phrase and that question. And it's a question of a response to the fact that we didn't have the right rock and the people are getting angry. Then, continues the Chumash, Moshe raises his arm and strikes the rock twice. Says Rashi, verse 11, second, bottom half of the Rashi in the bottom of your page. Po'amayim, twice. Why twice? Says Rashi, v'fisha barishona, because the first time, lo'i hoitzi ela tipin. The first time that Moshe strikes the rock, there were only a few droplets which came out. V'fisha lo tziva hamakom lahakoso. Because Hashem didn't command him to strike it. Hashem had commanded Moshe to speak to it. Ela v'dibartim ela sela, only to speak to the rock. So Moshe strikes a rock. A little bit comes out. Vehema dibru el sela acher. But they had spoken to a different rock by mistake. So initially they did, says Rashi, do what Hashem had wanted. Hashem said to them, speak to the rock. Says Rashi, they did. It was the wrong rock. Nothing happened. They spoke to another rock. Nothing happened. The people get all angry. Moshe and Aaron yell at them, Shimunah hamor, listen up, you rebellious ones. We can't bring water from a rock that wasn't the one that we were supposed to do. Then they hit a rock, and a few drops came out. Why did only a few drops come out? Because they weren't supposed to have struck it. They were supposed to have spoken to it. The lo hotzi, therefore didn't bring forth. I'm sorry, and they had spoke to a different rock, the lo hotzi, and it didn't bring forth any water. Amru, shema tzarech lahakoso. Maybe it's necessary to strike the rock. Since they kept speaking to rocks and nothing was happening, so not having realized that they hadn't yet got to the right one, they said, well, maybe we're supposed to strike it. Kivarishona, as what we did 38 years ago, the last time this happened. Shenemar v'hikisa batzor. V'nizdamim lahem oso sela. And then they chanced upon that rock to which Moshe should have spoken initially. V'hikahu. And they struck it, and the water poured out. This is a fascinating Rashi. Just trying to put this together, what he said, and then we need to put together why is he saying this. So first the what, because the what's hard enough, and then we got to get to where did he get this from. But the what is as follows. The what is, when you read such a Rashi, the what is, we were supposed to speak to a rock. So we did, but the rock got lost, seemingly, as part of the death of Miriam and the cessation of the miraculous event of the well. This rock also gets lost amongst a pile of rocks. Moshe doesn't have, they don't see it. They don't have it. They don't know which one it is. They start speaking. Nothing happens. People get all riled up. Nothing is happening. Moshe and Aaron say to themselves, well, if we've been speaking to it and it hasn't happened, maybe really what we were supposed to do was strike it. After all, Hashem did tell us to take the staff when we were to speak to it. So they struck a rock. They happened upon the correct rock at that time, and only a few drops came out. They struck it again, and the water came pouring out. That's how Rashi describes the progression. You ever hear this Rashi before? All the years of hearing about this incident. This is how Rashi learns it. That's the process as to what took place. They spoke, didn't happen. They struck it, a few drops, they strike it again, and then the water comes pouring out. That's how Rashi learns what the incident was at this Meha Meriva, at these rebellious waters where the incident of Moshe striking the rock takes place. The question, of course, is why does Rashi say this? Where does Rashi see that this is the process that took place? So here, the Re'eim Rebellio Mizrachni explains in Rashi as follows. And he basically takes us through the difficulties of working through the psukim as we have them to try to figure out why these things took place. First thing that he says is, well, why did he strike it twice? Why did he strike it twice? So he says, Rashi understood, well, it has to be, obviously, that if he, after the first time that he struck it, didn't work. Has to be that after the first time that he struck it, it did not bring forth abundant water, or else there clearly would not have been a need to have struck it a second time. So that can't be. Well, let's say he never had the right rock at the first time. Let's say at this point he's not striking the correct rock. So would any water ever have come out? It's not possible. That's how Moshe's response to the people clearly was, Hamin ha-sela ha-zeh notzi v'chem. I can't bring out water if this isn't the rock that Hashem wanted me to speak to. So that if at the end of the day, water does pour forth from this rock, the only conclusion you can draw is the rock that was struck was, in fact, the correct rock.
So why didn't you speak to it? That's the question?
Your question. Let's look at the question. What the question is? Why didn't he speak to it?
Is that what you're asking?
No. I'm asking. At the end of the day, Moshe strikes a rock, and water comes gushing out. Was that the right rock or the wrong rock?
We don't know, because God may not have wanted to embarrass Moshe in front of Bnei Israel, and he says, I'll do it for you because you're their leader and I don't want to humiliate it, but there are going to be consequences.
An excellent potential answer, one which I would have thought, and in fact I always did think happened. Mm-hmm. I always thought that's what happened, that he struck it, that's what happened. Rashi doesn't want to learn that way. Rashi doesn't want to learn, and this is my guess as to why Rashi doesn't want to learn that way, is because Moshe specifically responded to the people when they said to him, what difference does it make? Speak to any rock. And Moshe says, Hamin ha-sela ha-zeh notzi lo-chamai, can I just bring forth from any rock? If it's not the right one that Hashem wanted, it can't happen. So it seems that Rashi picked up on that and said, Hashem would rather have it work itself out that they chanced upon the correct rock in striking it than that extra miraculous incident of saying that water would pour forth from any rock.
That is if you accept Rashi's first premise.
100%. We're working within Rashi. Right. Ramban is not going to go with this approach. 100%. So Rashi holds that if at the end of the day the rock was struck and water comes gushing forth, that would have to mean that that was the correct rock. Because Moshe specifically said earlier, it can't happen if it's not the right rock that Hashem wants us to strike. It just doesn't work that way. So therefore, Rashi learns by the time that he starts striking the rock, he's got to have the right rock. There's no other way around that incident. So then why does he strike it twice? So Rashi learns, well, the first time, he had the right rock, but he did the wrong thing. He was supposed to have spoken, and he struck. So because it's the right rock, but the wrong method, few drops came out. Strikes it again, and then the water will come gushing out, and there you could probably say already, in order not to embarrass Moshe, he's finally got the right rock, but he's doing the wrong thing, so the water comes out, and the people are able to drink. But that's Rashi's approach as to what happened. From the fact that he raised his arm and struck the rock, Rashi's not willing to learn that he didn't attempt to speak to the rock at first. That's the other point that's really forcing Rashi into this pshat. I think this is an important point because the Ramban is going to say something which doesn't force this issue. If you read the pasuk as I did, and no one took an argument with me because art school translated that way as well, when Hashem commands Moshe to speak to the rock, his words are v'dibartem el hasela, speak to the rock.
Harshly.
What's that?
Harshly.
Okay, that's true. We do make a distinction between the words Dibor and Omar, but he's told to speak to the rock. We don't find anywhere in the Chumash that Moshe spoke to the rock. All that we find is that Moshe gathers the people and then strikes the rock. Says Rashi, that is impossible. I cannot learn that Moshe was commanded to speak to a rock and then ignored that command and struck it. Struck it twice. Why would he strike it twice? So Rashi puts it all together. It has to be that he fulfilled the command of Hashem, which was to speak to the rock. If he fulfilled the command of Hashem, why didn't the rock put forth its water? So Rashi says, I then have to conclude, he wasn't speaking to the right rock. That's why Moshe then responds to the people and says, what do you want from me? Hamin ha'sela ha'zen o'tzilochem mayim? Can I bring forth water from this rock? I'm trying, I'm speaking, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but this is obviously not the right one because that's why it's not happening. I can't do that which I don't want to do. At that point, he loses himself, makes a mistake, and strikes the rock. And water eventually comes out. So says Rashi, well, if water eventually comes out of this rock, then it has to have been the right rock. Otherwise, Moshe already clearly said it can't happen otherwise. So it must be Nizdamein Lo Hasela, the chanced upon, chance in the sense of divinely chanced upon the correct rock at that point. Why did he strike it then twice, as the Chumash says? Because the first time, only a few drops came out because he wasn't supposed to have struck it. He was supposed to continue to talk until he got the right one. And then the second time, the water gushes out.
Rabbi, can I ask a question just about the Hebrew construction?
Absolutely.
How do we know that's a question?
Hamin.
That,
yeah.
That
the hay before they were making it, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Moshe's mata? It was like in a museum or something like that. They put it like in a Mishkan or somewhere.
Yeah, because that's where he took it from. It could be, I'm not familiar, yes or no, but I'm saying even if that's true, Hashem commanded him, go take the stuff, and then wherever it had been put, he went to go get it. So I don't know anything about that. I'm not commenting yes or no. I'm just saying, I assume you learned that from somewhere. Wherever you learned that from, if that's true, so then that wouldn't be a problem with the fact that Hashem specifically commands to go get it, and he took it.
Is this a stamp of Aaron? Stuff you're talking about with the green flowers and the almonds, that was last parsha. It was a staff of Aaron. That's not the same staff as Moshe's staff.
Correct. I would have thought Moshe had it with him, but...
The footnote on page 844, the footnote to item, to verse 9.
Yeah, right, that's what he liked from William saying. Yeah. There was a special place that it was kept. Good. That's right, and exactly what I was just saying. You know, that's where it was kept, and he was told to go get it, and he went and got it, and brought it with him to the rock.
So wouldn't you think the word, Hotzeta Lahem, Mayamin HaSela, the rock, that he's really telling Moshe a specific
which one?
Rock? Right,
not because
HaSela, not a rock.
What I want to show, when you have this type of machlokas we're going to see right now between the Ramban and Rashi, by definition, when you have such a dispute, which we will see is a pretty big dispute amongst these giants of understanding Chumash, there has to be phrases or questions on both, like, is it like, that gives you sense. So, yeah, that would be something which would lend itself to say, like, there was never any unclarity as to which rock we're talking about. It's El Hasa, this is the rock. That's a fair point. The point that in my defense, so to speak, of where Rashi's coming from is, he's coming from the fact that he understood the command was to speak to the rock, V'dibartem El Hasela. He understood that it would be impossible that Moshe right away ignored that and began hitting it. And he couldn't figure out what's the question of Hamin HaSela HaZeh and why does he strike it twice. So he had those textual problems to deal with, which he addressed by saying he did speak to the rock. Just he got the wrong one. That's why he asked the question of, I can't bring forth water from this rock. This isn't the right one. Then he struck what once, brought forth some, struck it a second time, and that's when the water came pouring out. And Rashi learns in the main chet, in the question that everybody asks, what was Moshe's chet? What was his shortcoming here? It was an ever switching from the mode of speaking to the mode of striking. There, that's where he lost his composure, so to speak, and should have kept to the task, But Avada, for sure, Rashi learns Moshe started that way. There's no way that you can learn he struck a rock when he was told to speak to it. That's what he's bothered by, and that's how he works this through to put everything together, to come to the conclusion as to that was the hierarchy, that was the progression of events leading to what actually took place. Quite an incident. That's my understanding of the problems that Rashi is addressing to come to this conclusion that, of course, Moshe started speaking to the rock, couldn't find the right one, people got angry, Moshe responds, I can't bring it forth on the wrong one, then he raises his arm, strikes it twice, because the first time he only had drops, because now he'd gotten the right rock, but the wrong method, then the second time the water comes gushing out, and then the Torah concludes, which we didn't read inside, Hashem gets angry at them that you have not sanctified me. So in Rashi's approach, in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, on 844 and 845, Ayom Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron, you have not believed in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, and therefore I will not bring you into the land of Eretz Yisrael. How have Moshe and Aaron failed to sanctify Hashem through this incident? So Rashi quotes his understanding of the following idea, that even if you had spoken to the rock and it would have brought forth its water, then the people would have drawn the following conclusion. They would have said, what should we learn from this rock which doesn't speak and doesn't hear, doesn't require sustenance, and yet it fulfills the word of its creator when the creator says, bring forth water? So much so us, who do speak, we do hear, we do require sustenance, how much more should we fulfill the will of our Creator when we are asked to do something? That would have been the sanctification of Hashem's name that the people were supposed to have witnessed at the water pouring forth, the rock pouring forth its water at the words of Moshe. And since that didn't happen and it had to be extracted with force, the people apparently would not have learned that lesson, and therefore Hashem's name was not sanctified. That's how Rashi understands the sin of Moshe and Aaron in this incident, why they were punished with not being able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi writes. So far, so good? Sort of? That's Rashi's approach. Now, the Rabban has various problems with this. Various problems. Number one, he says, I don't understand. If what the people were supposed to learn from the rock is, wow, a rock which doesn't hear or see or require parnasa, require sustenance, yet it fulfills the will of its creator. So says the Ramban, what difference would it make whether or not a rock poured forth its water by being spoken to or being struck by the staff? It's the same thing in which you say, hey, look at that rock, it's pouring forth water. I don't care, as a person watching that, what you did to bring forth water from a rock, that's a supernatural event which I could learn that same lesson from. So says the Ramban to Rashi, if that was where the shortcoming was, that the people lacked the opportunity to learn this lesson from the rock, I don't understand why he'd be punished for striking the rock. It really shouldn't make a difference. He entirely disagrees that that was what the people were supposed to have learned and where the mistake of Moshe and Aharon came from. Furthermore, the Ramban comments on the phrase "v'dibartem el hasela." The word "el" does not always mean "to." And in fact, there's another reference in the verse that we just read. If you look at verse Yud, which we are right here on page 844, "Vayakihilu Moshe va'Aaron es hakohol el penei hasela." Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation. What does that mean, El Panei Hasala? Before the rock. So the Ramban says, I don't even agree with Rashi's entire premise that the command had been the Dibartem El Hasala, that I want you to speak to the rock. That didn't mean speak to the rock. It meant
before
the rock, with your staff, striking the rock like you always have done in the past, bringing forth its water in such a miraculous event. So if you now again, if you start where Rashi started, that the command was v'dibartem el hasela, means speak to the rock. Well, then you have the whole series of difficulties that Rashi has of, well, if he was supposed to speak to, how do I understand the fact that he struck it? That doesn't make any sense. And then if Rashi has to learn, well, first he started speaking, what went wrong? Must be he didn't have the right rock. That's how Rashi interpreted the question of, shall I bring forth water from this rock? Was following that interpretation of, he must be speaking, because that's what he was told to do. Nothing is happening. He must be responding. I can't do it from the wrong rock. That's why he strikes it. That's where his punishment is. Because if he would have spoken, the people would have learned the lesson, but he didn't. They didn't learn it. Remind this gives you the entire premise. He was never supposed to have spoken to the rock in the first place. He was supposed to gather them to the rock with his staff. Why do we carry our staff around? Because we strike things with us, just like Moshe did in Mitzrayim all the time. Almost all the makos were brought about by Moshe, or Aaron, striking the water, striking the ground. That's how a lot of the makos were brought about. So he doesn't have the problem of why Moshe struck the rock. Now, he might have a problem why he struck it twice. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the Ramban address that particular problem, why he struck it twice. Rashi, we know how he addressed it. I don't know why the Ramban would address, how he would address that problem. But what the Ramban needs to address then is, what was Moshe's big chay? What did he do wrong? And what does he do with this question of, shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? What's the question? Where is Moshe coming from? If in the Ramban's approach, everything has gone smoothly so far. The people complain. Hashem says to Moshe, take your staff, gather the people to the rock, and he doesn't tell them what to do. So what's the assumption? Of course you're going to strike it. So Moshe then says, shall I bring forth water from this rock? And then he strikes it twice. Why did you throw that question? And you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. You gather them, you're going to strike it, give them the water. Where is the question? So the Ramban learns, says, Chalila, it's impossible to read this question the way Rashi interprets it, that it was some form of impossibility. That Moshe thinks, I can't do it. So that question can't ever have any implication that there's something here which can't be done. Because we're talking about Moshe fulfilling the will of Hashem. We've been 38 years in the desert. We've seen lots of miraculous events. There's no such thing as impossible that this could ever be interpreted in some form of a question of, do you think I can bring forth water? Now Rashi says, yeah, I can only do it if Hashem wants it, and I'm talking to the wrong rock. But even that, the Ramban says, what kind of question is that? We need a wrong rock. Hashem can make it miraculous like you suggested, just not to embarrass you. There can't be a question of, do you think I can do this? So instead, the Ramban says, you know what Moshe was doing at this point? At this point, he's questioning and challenging the people. And he's testing them, and he's testing their emunah. And he's saying, there's no well, so you have no water. What kind of response did you just give me? What kind of response is this of, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Where is this land flowing with milk and honey that you promised us? We should die a death like our brethren, struck down immediately by a plague rather than this awful death of starvation and dehydration. What kind of response is that? Do you think I can't bring forth water from this rock? The rhetorical questions you were suggesting, that's how the Ramban understands this question. Listen up, you rebellious ones. You think I can't bring forth water? You're complaining like there's no water in sight. Moshe, what are you going to do? You think I can't bring forth water from this rock, the Ramban? That's how the Ramban understands this question. It's simply a rhetorical question. Shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? The Ramban says, it's as if the pasuk says, or not. Like, do you think I can do it or not? It's a test. That's simply how the Ramban addresses that question. And his punishment is what you had said earlier. His language was, Hamin Asela Hazeh Notzi, shall we bring forth the water? Because nothing happened in the process that wasn't supposed to happen, according to the Ramban. In Rashi's take on this, the incident went awry. It wasn't supposed to go like this. You were supposed to speak, water came forth. You ended up striking the rock. Again, why did it happen that way? Because of how Rashi understood that was the initial command to speak. Obviously it went wrong because Moshe clearly did it, and he eventually hit it. And the Ramban's take on it, which he says is the same as the Rabbeinu Chananel, this is what he was supposed to do. He was told to take his staff and go to the rock. What was he supposed to do there? Obviously strike it. He does, and he questions the people, and he says, where's your emunah? You don't think that I could do this? You don't think that Hashem has ability to, but the way that he said it was, you don't think that I can do this? And it was in that that Hashem says, you have not sanctified me in the presence of the people. You haven't allowed my name to become great because you threw yourself in there. And it's in that, that his punishment, his sin was, where he was punished with his inability to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. But it all stems from how they interpreted the initial command, and then how you get to from there to the fact that he's striking it, and how you interpret this phrase of Hamin Hasela Hazeh. In Rashi's approach, where we started from a request of speaking, and then if nothing's happening, you can't say that he didn't even try doing what he was supposed to do. So most of it he was trying, found the wrong rock. That's why he got angry and he says, can I bring it from this one? I can't do it from this one. This isn't the right one. Eventually had to strike it. Why did he do it twice? The first one, because he got the right rock, but it was just dripping. Then the second time. The Ramban, where the command wasn't to speak, the command was to strike it. So he learns differently. You guys are rebels simply because of the way that you've approached me and the fact that you don't have any water. The question of Hamin Hasela Hazeh simply saying, this is a test of your emunah. You think that I don't have the ability to bring forth water? We've been in the desert for 38 years. What's the big deal? Where is your ability to trust and believe in the ability for miraculous events? His, what I don't have in the Ramban is why he struck it twice. I did not see there's like a pages and pages of Ramban. It could be that I missed it. I would expect a report by next week.
But Ramban doesn't do gymnastics the way Rashi does.
Right, 100%. I agree totally. And I totally think that that stems from that initial phrase of the Dibartem El Hasela. What was asked of Moshe to do? And if you start from where Rashi started, it's gymnastics. You have to admire the gymnastics that was done to fit in all of the problems that he's dealing with.
I admire the simple way of taking from the text and not trying to extrapolate things that we don't have.
And totally valid. But it stems from Rashi's understanding that the command was to speak to the rock. But the Ramban, who says we don't have to learn it that way, then has a much simpler approach in his interpretation. I don't have the double strike. Now, it could be anger. Maimonides, the Rambam, learned that that was the entirety of Moshe's chet, that he lost control and he yells at the people, listen up, you rebellious ones. Can we bring forth water? And he strikes it twice. It was all in his anger and his loss of control that was his chet. The Ramban mentions the Rambam, but he disagrees with his approach. But it could be that was a remnant I did not find in the Ramban. It could be that I missed it again. There are pages and pages of the Ramban on this. It could be that I missed it. I don't have a reason, according to the Ramban, why he struck it twice. But those are the two approaches. I think it's great to see in the text where the launching pads were, where the disagreements are as they work through the different issues, who has problems with what and where, in terms of how they interpret this event. But this is, again, one of the classic events. Moshe, the result of this, of course, does not get to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And there's, again, various other interpretations, which I'm not getting into. But the Ramban himself brings various other elements. I'm just focusing on one element of what he says, but that's how Rashi and Ramban approach these two psukim. Yeah.
Do you find it a little odd in the Tanakh that Miriam dies, next sentence, you know, there's no
warning,
there's no crime. I mean, she was a force.
Even when Aaron dies, there's not all that much, but at least you have the people mourning, all the people mourned him. And this is a fashion factor. All the people mourned Aaron, and there's the process of how he was disrobed and the clothing he passed on. You find it also by Imbracious. You find it by not by No Star, it has a whole lot of fanfare, right. By Rachel. Just Rachel.
But Rachel was mourned within
Rachel's
the family, and it was a. This is a national figure, Miriam.
Well, this
story,
he cried a little bit on the, or was it the fact that Avram cried a little bit, not the nation.
There was no nation.
Right.
It was just Adam and Sarah and Yitzhak, I guess. Yeah. But that's their approach as far as this goes.
Is this typical between the two approaches, between Rashi and Ramban?
It's typical that they have vastly different approaches. And this one, I find just in this particular case in Rashi is really a lot.
Someone explain really the philosophy. Rashi takes the word and he tries to explain it. Ramban takes the text, he goes before, he goes after to see how it plays into this instead of being
simple, not simple necessarily.
No, sort of a myopic or, you know, just kind of this word, and we're going to explain it. Rambam takes a much broader view. That's how it was explained to me, anyway.
One day I hope to have a great enough understanding of the entirety of Rabban Rashi to have an assessment. I can only hear that as an approach, but yeah, you do find often, and that's one of the things I like doing in this particular class is working through a limited, like one or two psukim, as opposed to giving a topical view of something and breaking it down. I just enjoy that, seeing how they took phrase by phrase and took different parts, and how, because of that, you go in different, you have different problems in the text, and you have to come to different things to address them. But Rashi's approach here is just fascinating. Just fascinating.